And you're listening to KCCR, KQA Kilauea, and this is Naleo Hawaiian Issues. And also K28 4AL, Haleiwa over there at North Shore, where this person is. Who's that on the phone? The one and only, Ms. Mahilani Silva.
How do you know? How do you know? You're psychic, brother. You're psychic, God. Anyway, welcome to Naleo Hawaiian Issues. And, you know, as you look around in terms of Hawaiian issues, there are many. There are many. And first and foremost is the illegal occupation of the United States government on our little kingdom in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the Kingdom of Hawaii, which basically John Kerry still hasn't answered that question. Does the kingdom still exist? But the international arena has asked her that question. Many other lawyers, attorneys, scholars, countries have answered that question. Yes, it still exists. However, the United States, the government is usually very good at basically avoidance, you know. And politicians are too. Last week we discussed, and I got some phone calls on that one. Last week we discussed the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, like in 2012 was mentioned in terms of partnership throughout the, Pacific area, China, Japan. It's in a little agreement. However, if you look at it, the agreement in depth, then you basically question the government of the United States' ability to understand international law. But apparently they don't care, because if they understood international law or even their own constitution, they would have never broke their own constitution or laws in terms of international law when they illegally occupied our kingdom in 1893, January the 17th.
Hello, cuz, you dropped out or something. Well, let me see what happened.
Sorry. My chubby little cheeks pressed that little mute button. Hello.
Well, tell your chubby little cheeks to move over.
Well, you know, a lot of these cell phones are so touchy, you know. They get one attitude.
No, it's the Portuguese pilot running the phone. That's the one. Pilot Air. Nobody blame the phone.
You mean it's my chubby cheeks?
Yeah.
my chipmunk cheeks. The squirrel kind of cheeks at store food.
I know. I'm just sitting here going, hello? Hello? Hey, what happened?
Well, one last thing you heard in terms of the United States government and its inability to understand international law, much less follow it. It's like... But one of the things is that Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, if you look it up, that was back in 2011, when they had that little meeting over here in Oahu, and everybody came, and they sort of spent thousands of dollars on beautification and removal of the homeless so they'd stay out of sight. They didn't address the homeless situation and just moved them so the other countries wouldn't look at us going, oh, what's going on here? Yeah, people don't. I mean, in the state of Hawaii, or in terms of government, it's like instead of correcting the eyesore, they just move it. You know, they can correct it. They can correct homelessness. They can correct houselessness. And you can do a lot of corrections, but they won't, because that's politics. And to continue on, the fact of it is, there are, you know, the media, which normally I really don't have anything to say about the media. I used to be in it, in the mainland, but, you know, when it comes to the media, the truth is usually on the edit room floor. It gets cut out, for a much better story. It's a lie, but it's a much better story. So here we got media trying to, you know, talked to our four Congress people, Hirona, Schatz, Takai, and Gabbard, in terms of the TPP, or Trans-Pacific Partnership. Oh, what? Cat got your tongue. Cat got their tongue. They're not saying nothing. Which means, usually mum's the word on that one. If they're not saying nothing, because politicians love to talk. They love to say what their plans are going to be. They like to say the plans, whether they have the ability to carry them out. That's another thing, especially when you're going just before election. You know, it's like, oh, we plan to do this and we plan to do that. And that's another thing that gets, like, the truth on the cutting room floor. It's those plans, especially when they help serve and help the islands and the community. You know, the environment, you know, those all get, you know, swept away for what? It's called development. It's for called corporation. It's called the bottom line profit. And that's what politics is all about. It's about, let's make a deal, Monty Hall's, with the corporations that can promise to bring you more profit. It's not about serving the community. It's not about preserving the Aina. It's not about caring for the local community or the people who put them in office. It's about servitude to the major corporations. And, you know, I think it's about time we start thinking of getting rid of the career politicians. One of the definitions I really love is, what is politics? It's a whole bunch of blood sucking. Poly. Poly in Latin means many. Ticks. Blood sucking insects. So it's a bunch of many blood sucking insects that are involved. So we need to get rid of those career politicians, the ones who make themselves look really good. Yes, this is what I plan to do. And we need to put local individuals who have the heart. Because, you know, what happens is, that's one of the things, first things that go. Heart, consciousness, you know what I mean? Ethics, morals, integrity. That's usually what goes. You have to compromise on that, especially if you're in a position. Because, you know, you just can't please everyone. So what the politicians would do is to please the one that provide them with the campaign contributions that will keep them in their high maka-maka status as dictator. And I use that term loosely. So, again, you know, look at the, you know, Google it, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And all the incumbents, all the people who are running for office everywhere are going, nah, it's not happening. Oh, yeah, it's happening behind closed doors. It's like a Linda Lingle pool. Yeah, super fairy behind closed doors. You know, this is, you look at that and you go, well, somebody says, oh, it's written in stone, it can't be changed. Well, you know what? The people are beginning to rise to the occasion. And Kauai rose to the occasion regarding the super ferry. The people stood up. And what was said to be a done deal ended. Okay? It ended. And a lot of money was wasted. Another deal that was supposed to go down, and it was a done deal, multi-million dollar done deal, internationally done deal, a TMT. Oh, that's really a dumb deal. Dumb and done deal now. Yes, it is. And why? Because the community, the whole Kanaka community, rose to the occasion. The problem is, what politicians don't realize, when you tick people off enough, they raise to the occasion and they look to stop whatever is happening. So again, you know, for all of those politicians out there, you little bloodsuckers, you, what happens is, just look over your shoulder, behind your back. Because if you did something to vote that sort of basically did something to pat yourself on the back, or put money in your pocket instead of giving back to the community, or if you did things that basically created a situation where the Mulligan across the way came over here and made out like bank while the local community is groveling and busting to turn around and just put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads. You know what? I think it's time that the local community show you exactly how they feel about it, and they have to. They don't like it. So another way for the local community to show how you don't like it is turn around and look amongst you and say, which one of you has the leadership abilities? Which one of you is sick and tired of being sick and tired putting up with political BS and look, step up to serve the Aina and all your Ohana and neighbors and friends? Which one of you? And select them. Okay? And then run for office. You know what I mean? And even though somebody says, oh, what the deadline is, oh, I'll give you deadline. You know, things can be changed, you know. And all it takes is people. All it takes is people. So, you know, it's up to us. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're a national or whatnot police. There are nationals over there receiving the benefits of the state, you know, federal government, and they're still nationals. So if you could do that, you can also vote. And that's where the power lies. The power that each and every one of us possess is voting. We got to use that power. We also have the power of the pen. But that's a lot slower than voting, because in voting, you can get those suckers out, okay? If there's enough of you who vote for not for the status quo, not because, it starts with the A and it's at the top of the list kind. No, not that kind. Oh, I know they're Ohana. No, not that kind. You look at the person. You look at it. Are they filled with integrity? Are they filled with ethics? Something that not even the ethics committee knows. Trust me on that one. And there's people who can vouch for that. But yeah, they tried to change and make sure that the mission statement of the ethics committee stood true for what it was written all about, you know, to maintain ethics and morals and right from wrong and corruption. And some of those people out there tried to make that commission true to its mission statement. But there's people who are walking dying, yeah. Who, the only thing they know about ethics is how to spell the word, okay? They don't know how to practice it, but they know how to spell the word. So we need people with ethics, morals, integrity, values. And you're not going to find a politician. Yes. And if you do, that's very rare. Point them out. Let us know. Who do you think has the morals? Who do you think has the integrity? Who do you think can climb up on that political soapbox and basically not change because it went to their heads, okay? Because not too many. I've seen those who... the people rallied around, they had good intentions, and all of a sudden they step on that political soapbox and they became barot. They became so like, hello, full of themselves. It was like an empty gourd. You shake them with a little bit of water, a little bit of knowledge in it, and it makes a lot of noise. That's what they were like. One empty ipu with a little bit of water, shook it, and it went slash, 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 made noise, but didn't make sense. Okay? Not those kinds either. You need somebody with humility, humbleness, gratitude, and somebody who's spiritually connected. We need somebody like that. Not religiously connected, because, you know, some of those religious fanatics can, you know, also compromise the morals or values and the spirituality for a soapbox. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of those. Anyway, so if you'd like to share your mana'o, please do so. There's a couple of things we'd like to talk about today. One of them was, I saw this and I said, oh, come on. Those GMO companies who will, you know, to GMO anything, genetically modifying any type of organism. Yeah. And I'd like to talk about those projects soon. But in the meantime, I care for the general public. Give us a call at 826-777-1826, 7771. If you're listening off island, you like to share your 2 cents, 3 cents, 4 cents, five, you know, give us a call. You know, we're always willing to listen. And if I'm wrong, you point out to me. Most times if you, when I'm wrong, you point out to me, I go, oh, sorry. Sorry. I'll just give me the correct answer. But for the most part, the things that we do talk about on Nalea Hawaiian issues are things that have been researched and actually are newsworthy and in the news because, you know, we don't discuss anything on air that hasn't been put out there by basically the media or public relations. So, you know, and some people say, what? It depends on where you're looking at the information, and it depends on when the information is placed. Because like I said before, media will, upon occasions, print the truth. But you'll find it in, like, money kind print.
Hey, cuz.
On third page.
Cousin. Yeah? As always, we have a phone caller, and those are priorities. You're going to put them on?
Yes.
Hello, caller. You're on air with Nalea Hawaiian Issues. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I appreciate the show. It's great. I call in quite often. But anyway, I was wondering how we were, like, removed from the decision-making process in this Trans-Pacific Partnership. It was, like, for a long time, it was hush-hush. People didn't talk about it at all. And now that they're about ready to let it go or finalize the whole thing, there's a little bit of talk about it, but no details have come out or anything like that. I just wonder how they're making these decisions without the voice of the people involved.
Good.
Got an idea?
Good question. I like to know that one, too. However, apparently, for Congress, spokespersons, when even the media has called their office and even submitted questions to their office have not received an answer on that. And that's strange, because normally the media likes to talk about the politicians like to talk about anything when it comes to media. But apparently, and I heard this from various different media sources, that no matter what they submit, the question, they've even said, we'll ask specific questions however you want us, and they've said that we'll talk about whatever you want to regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But apparently, no one, not Schatz, Hirono, Gabbard or Mark Takai, has responded to the media regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So something must be going down between the United States government and that particular agreement and those four people who are supposed to represent us.
Huh.
And you're right. It sounds like they're by the time they're ready to announce it, it sounds like it's going to be another done deal. Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds like this is one of Obama's dark secrets as well, is that he wants to push this thing through. I heard him even interview him the other day about it, and he didn't come up with, I mean, he was being accused of putting the environment up for risk, putting up labor practices, and the only thing he could really say in response was that he thought it would provide more jobs or a steady jobs for the people. He didn't say well-paying jobs. He didn't say, you know, anything like that. He just said, well, there would be more jobs for people. And maybe they will, but it's going to be at a horrible wage is what it sounds like, because we're going to be competing with the Chinese and with other countries that are not living in the same economic realm that Americans and Hawaiians are out here. So I don't know. It's one of those tricky deals, you know, or like the GMO. They don't want to talk about that thing either. It's just like, well, you know, as long as people are ignoring it, everything's going along fine. And
exactly.
And the injection wells we were talking about the other day.
Yes.
I actually talked with them in Honolulu about that, and on the water quality show they had on Hawaiian Public Radio, and their response was, we're phasing them out a little bit. And no, they seem to be doing a really good job of what we need to do. And no, and then they obfuscated off into talking about, well, he's probably talking about the Hanalei septic systems leaking or cesspools leaking into the bay and how that was a problem. And then they cut me off the air, so there was no response to any of this stuff. But it seemed like it was just a general consensus among the politicians that these are subjects we don't talk about. Just like the
Trans-Pacific
Partnership.
Exactly.
There's no,
you're right.
No solid facts coming out about what's going on there.
And see, you know, you're absolutely right. These are questions that they don't talk about, because if they were to talk about it and tell the truth, that's one whole other aspect of it. You know what happened? Somebody would be under for investigation, because if they were to talk about it and tell the truth, the public would not like it, because it would, look to damage the environment, threaten our health and welfare in regards to environmental issues, or possibly threaten our own natural resources that we need in order to survive on a small island. So, again, you're right, you're absolutely right. And that's why I say it's time for us to sort of like look somewhere else in terms of those who are serving the community, the public.
Yeah.
Look to put somebody in who's not afraid to open their mouth. To open their mouth, talk about things, put somebody in office who's willing to do that, to speak the truth no matter what. And inform the public. Again, a lot of times what happens is when you start looking at that, then you have to look at the various different agencies that are responsible for monitoring these things. And here you'll come up again, and when it comes, it's like a round robin, the excuses start to fly. Well, because of the cutbacks, state cutbacks in our department, we were unable to hire staff, or we're unable to hire enforcement, or we have a limited amount of people for enforcement, or we can't get the qualified people for enforcement, or we can't pay the people for enforcement. All these things come and start coming into play. And
yeah, or like our mayor tells us, oh, I'm not educated on that yet. I'll have to look into it and get back to you about it. But still, about the GMO issue, that's what he was saying way back when it was 2491. Oh, I'm not really sure. I'm not that educated about it, and playing the dumb guy card on everybody. And then, even today, which is, three, 4 years later or something, he's just, well, there's not enough information come in for me to make a decision about anything. So he doesn't want to alienate the seed companies. He doesn't want to alienate the people. So he's playing this middle-of-the-road deal where he's trying to, keep the votes from everybody, or keep the money flowing, especially from the seed companies, and somewhat respect from the people. And, of course, he's a good old boy, and he plays his ukulele for the old people's fund and that, or old people's home and that kind of stuff. But besides that, I don't see him doing that much good. As a matter of fact, where did all that diesel fuel that he absconded with there, $50,000 worth of diesel fuel? He never answered any questions about that. So, I don't know. This is all just so corrupt.
See? That's called the political soft shoe dance. You skirt around the issue, you turn around, and you either give some pat answers, like, I really don't know much about that issue. I'm not an expert on it. However, I'll get back to you. 4 years later, they're singing the same tune, or they're singing another pat answer to the point where, well, at this particular point in the stage, there has been a group forum to look at what's going on. By the way, however did that group go with the so-called GMO, they called it
GFF, Joint Fact-Finding Commission.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? I heard some of the seed corporations just walked out and stopped communicating. I was like, wow, what was that all about? Were they usually when people stop communicating in that type of in that level, either A, they're about to plead the fifth, or they don't want to incriminate themselves in terms of criminal activity. you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, so, it also seemed to, they wanted to protect themselves. And thought, oh, man, these guys are getting too much facts about what's going on. The best thing for us to play the scientific card, we're going to get out and say, oh, it's not scientific. We're the only ones that are scientific, and you can listen to our results, you know. It's like the government gave them the right to patrol their own use of the pesticides, you know, what's happening with it, you know, to develop.
Well, actually, the government did. The EPA, not only the EPA, but the USDA, all these various different agencies, governmental agencies that are there to, in order to make sure things are done correctly. Some of those very same, and it was shown in a film by some local brothers from Maui, not Maui, but Molokai. It was shown in a film where some of these heads of corporations now were actually working for these very same agencies that were supposed to be monitoring on behalf of the public's interest, monitoring these various different corporations and looking to determine whether it was safe for the environment, was it safe for health. And some of these, those people who were in office with these various different agencies now work for these major seed corporations raking in buku bucks. So, you know, it's like, oh, was this your pay ola us kind for making sure that the agency that's supposed to protect the rights of the people and the health and the environment swayed in your direction?
Yeah, they call it self-regulating. These are self-regulating companies. Isn't that nice, huh?
You're right. Conflicts of interest.
No conflict of interest. And they even got their own scientists. So what do we need the people for? You know?
Exactly. And see, this is the thing. This is what's happening. This is what's happening with the government. They have their own people. They have their own scientists. And the government is dictating to our local politicians, whom we elected and put in the office, dictating to them. And they're becoming the puppets. Our politicians are becoming the puppets of major corporations, of corrupt government, and I think it's time for us to turn around and start looking with amongst ourselves, you know, what we call the 99%ers, amongst ourselves, and try and find somebody who's not going to buckle or not going to be wooed corrupted by, you know, political, you know, favors or the power that goes along with the responsibility of serving the community and the environment and most of all the people. We need to find people like that who are going amongst us to step up to that position and voice the majority of the majority of the communities. So you know anybody like that, bro?
Most of them, yeah. Now, I was watching a movie the other night about the black
guy. It sounds like you at least have the knowledge to do so. Yeah?
Yeah.
So why don't you run? What?
I don't have that knowledge, but anyway, it's an idea. Let's pursue it. But no, I was just thinking another point was that I was watching a movie the other night about how they would steal the black people who didn't have a job anywhere, and they'd call them vagrants, and they put them into forced labor in the fields, cotton mostly back then. How similar that is to you go in a jailhouse over here now, and they say, hey, we get work release program. You guys like go work. We get some jobs down in the GMO fields, you know, except they don't call it that. They call it the agricultural industry or something like that. So they're pumping all these guys into the GMO fields. I don't know if they get kickback on the deal, but that's the way it used to run, was kickback to the law enforcement for supplying the labor, because the laborers were something. but they take them back, feed them in the evening, and bring them back on the chain gang in the daytime. So
that sounds like plantation days are back.
Well, it is. It's just in another form. You know, 48% of the people in Hawaii are only one paycheck away from poverty, away from not being able to pay their rent, pay their bills, provide food for their children.
Exactly.
48%.
I know.
Yeah. Getting worse all the time. And then, you know, so those people are financially enslaved. They're not coming around and, you know, forcing them to go to work in the morning. But if you don't pay your rent from the beginning of the month, after a couple months, they're going to say, "Hey, you know what? You got to move along. You got kids?
Exactly.
Too bad. You got to go. You can't feed them? You got to, you know."
Yeah. You're right. But, you know, I enjoy you calling in. I really do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'll let you guys go. Aloha.
Thanks. Aloha.
Aloha. And, well, that's close as we takes it to the top of the hour. I'll do the legal stuff and get right back at you, Cuz K.
Okay.
All righty. We are listening to Nalea Hawaiian Issues. This is KKCR Honolulu, KQA Kilauea. And Nalea Hawaiian Issues is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kamoa Ukulele and KCC Kauai Community College.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments, built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, from student models up to custom masterpieces. Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com.
The Hawaiian Studies Program at Kauai Community College, offering courses and experiences in Hawaiian language and culture for the children and friends of Hawaii. 245-8202.
Shh, it's KKCR's Silent Fund Drive. From now until the start of our spring membership drive on May 12th, we encourage you to participate in our Silent Drive. All Silent Drive contributors will be entered into our early bird drawing for a chance to win a two-night stay at the beautiful Honolulu Bay Resort in Princeville. Our goal is $60,000. Help us get there by making a donation today. Call 808-826-7774 or visit kkcr.org. KKCR, Ke Kani o Kauai Nei, the sound of Kauai.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We're back on here, cuz.
Oh, my gosh, I'm looking for this article that I wanted to discuss in regards to GMOs, because I was like, what? Are you kidding me? They're messing with it? And it's all an answer to the dengue, I think, or the mosquito fever.
CK, well, hold on, because we've got another phone call. Put them right on the air.
Oh, great, great, great.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Nalea Hawaiian Issues, KKCR.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
How you guys?
All righty. How you doing out there?
Well, you know, the guys got to go work, but so, like the Joe brothers, well, work release is good, but because we like them come out in transition, you know, so that is kind of a good thing for them come out and work. But the GMO trip, I just wanted to say about the honey, you know, I'd be more concerned with the honeys and the bee population, that side. And then, you know, the girl at Stadium, and they had exposed it was higher, you know, the poison levels in the honey on that side of the island. I don't think people understand the impact on people's businesses, because you figure if you get all these small little containers of honey and you get them at your hotels, your timeshares, your fruit baskets to the tourists, you get these honeys coming out from the west, then you affect these guys, because eventually, how are you going to be able to sell that if the thing is poisonous? Because the bee take back higher concentrations straight nectar. So knowing that, they're going to pull away from anything that is going to self, you know, everything is geared towards self-pollinating and go hydroponics indoors. You know, it's forcing everything to go indoors, because once the bees no stay, they get sick, no can pollinate, fruit levels on the trees go down, and then you tend to more go grow inside versus outside, because eventually everything going to be outside going to be contaminated. The movement is going that way, the whole movement. I can kind of see them, you know, where your aquaculture and your indoor growing fruits and vegetables, seems like that's where the government pushes, because outdoor is monocrop, so it's all poison. Eventually, all poison will kill everything that's supposed to grow. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys that, and, you know, just God bless, Brian. Everybody out there making meat or making wines and making alcohols or whatever that is, you got to watch what kind of sugars you're using, because it's pretty much, you can be poisoning people. Okay, have a beautiful day. Aloha.
Oh, aloha. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, that's one thing we got to look at, the possibility of the chemicals that they're using in the agribusiness, and the fact that, and I cannot say that it isn't a contributing factor to the decline of the bee population and the poisoning and the dying off of the bee population. To me, that must be a contributing factor, because ever since they popped up and started doing things, you know, you go look at the environment. Has the environment been affected? Oh, heck yeah. has cancer increased? Has the cancer rate cancer in the communities basically increased? Yes, most definitely so. So we got to start looking. There's got to be a correlation between what's happening to the environment, what is allowed to help to the environment, and how the environment reacts. You know, there's a, you know, action, reaction. So we've got to start looking at what are the actions that are happening, that is contributing to the pollution or the death of certain species that are instrumental in terms of population or repopulating. We've got to look at like it says in terms of water quality, point source water pollution or non-point source water pollution. We've got to start looking at that because, to be quite frank, folks, we live on an island, okay, surrounded by hundreds of miles of what? Oh, salt water. You can drink that? No. So here we are in a water, on an island, that we are solely dependent on our natural water resources, and we've got to look at them. What are they? Where are they? And with this injection well thing, it doesn't look good. You're injecting into the arena porous rock, volcanic, into the arena poisons and chemicals. And you don't expect it to, like, accidentally leak into the main water source. Wow, that's not, I don't think that's using any much of your noggin there. I'm like, duh, common sense. I said that. It doesn't take a scientist, a rocket scientist, to go, does it sound good? Yeah. You know, if this is one rock and we all get on it and we got our fresh water system in the rock and underground, and then you start digging these little holes and sticking all the poisons in the aina.
Well, not only here on the island, but when you look at some of the documentation and the documentaries like Cowspiracy, you can't talk about any of all that stuff unless you hit the big problem, which is animal husbandry. You know, why are the runoff? It's because it's being cleared for animal husbandry. We all eat eggs, chicken, pigs, pork, cows. Cows not only for the meat, dairy, yogurt, ice cream, cheese. And when you look at some of these facts, and it is kind of scary because in the Amazon, you hear about the CTO and the trucks and the trains and all that stuff. And human expansion civilization. The Amazon is not being stripped down for human population. It's being stripped down for animal husbandry to feed the growing population more cows, more pigs, more chickens. And these people have deeper pockets, excuse me, than the oil companies, which I didn't think was possible. And they're like the silent partner in the back. And people who go up against them get rammed quicker and faster than Monsanto does. And the people in Amazon recently, or about a year or two ago, the American nun executed right in the head. Boom. Blew her head off. Why? She was protesting the clearing of Amazon for more livestock. So we're also being pushed with the propaganda. And this is what some of these documentaries are showing, is how can, it doesn't matter, people, if all the human people on this planet changed their light bulbs for more energy conserving, changed all their appliances, changed all their faucets, so it wouldn't make a difference because it wouldn't touch close, not even close to what animal husbandry, as far as our drinking water is concerned. A cow drinks more water than a human. Okay, so to feed that cow, he has to drink more of our drinking water. So you wonder why California, which has a lot of dairy farms, a lot of farms, where's all the water going? The consumption is by animal husbandry. And I think until something drastic happens and we really pull our heads out of the sand, which a lot of people are trying to tell us to do, and you look at the facts, not just conspiracy theories, well, you know, whack things that don't even jive when you look at the facts. You're looking at documentation from the United Nations. What causes the most pollution? It's not the trains. It's not the cars. It's not the airplanes. It's animal husbandry. Cows, chickens, all that big industry to help feed us, from chicken McNuggets to packaged cheese slices. It's all that. And how ingrained is that? I eat all that crap. We all eat that crap. And these guys have bigger pockets. Deeper pockets than the oil industry. So they love when you talk about something else. Case in point, when you look at these documentaries, and these are facts that can be, anybody can check on and can be confirmed. The gentleman, he was from Montana, grew up in a dairy farm on the Oprah Winfrey channel. Well, not on her channel, when she had her own show, mentioned about the cattle industry. He lost everything. They raked him through the coals through the court system. He lost everything. And he was telling the producer of Cowspiracy, he's like, if you don't think if you're not sure about yourself, then you better turn off this camera and not even talk about this, because you're putting your head on the chopping block. So when people look at the facts and look what's actually happening with the pollution, our water and everything, doesn't point to humans into, we're a part of the problem, but when you compare what is contributed as far as pollution-wise and water consumption by animal husbandry, for all the stuff that we eat from animals, doesn't come close to the consumption of humans. Doesn't even come close. Their methane from their feces, and now you have Mahulepa, the dairy over there, cuz. The stream is polluted. Now everyone's scrambling. Why? Now, they didn't say it was the dairy, but they're checking on it. We have another phone caller coming online. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Nale Hawaiian Issues.
Hey, aloha, guys. Great aloha. Show as always.
Mahalo.
Really, I just wanted to drop two facts on our listeners real quick.
Cool.
One, and people can look this up and verify it, but I got it from documentaries. 1 pound of beef, not one cow, 1 pound, consumes 26,000 gallons of water.
Yep.
Something to think about.
Yep.
And also, since you mentioned the military and carbon usage, another fact, the U.S. military uses more gasoline than the population of China, Russia, and America put together.
Hmm.
So I just want to throw that out there because, you know, you guys are always dropping, you know, really important issues, but these are things that people really need to put into perspective, you know. I like beef, but I don't consume it that much because I know how expensive it is to our water table.
Yeah, and I was totally blind to all that. And I love my steak. I love my ice cream. And I love my milk and cookies. And my wife has even noticed. I look at, after watching the documentary and looking at the facts, when I look at milk, now all I can think about is that's calf growth fluid. And I don't want to drink it. Because like the guys in the documentary, hello people, even the cows stop drinking milk. Okay?
Yeah.
Even they stop drinking it. Okay? It's only to make that little calf grow into a 300-pound heifer really quickly. And even they stopped drinking it. So it's like, why are, you know, it's a whole, you wonder how this got really ingrained into the, you know, your psyche, right? We've been force-fed that this is all good.
I mean, and for 50 years, it's all been forced down our throat through commercialism and media. Like, you got to drink your milk, right? Milk
yeah.
Makes your body good.
And now the Health Association, who does all that, you know, pyramid thing and all, now they're saying, well, maybe we shouldn't say milk is mandatory, but it's a choice. That you shouldn't be forcing on people, because now they're saying, you know, we don't know whether it's really that good like we thought it was.
Yeah, well, they tried for years and years, but the health issues are coming out, and you know, goat dairy is an option if you've got to have your cheese, if you've got to have your dairy products. Goats have a lot less impact on the environment, and the milk is much more similar to human milk, so you get much less problems with dairy allergies and stuff.
Right. Or even I tried almond milk. You know, I'm not.
That's what I'm on. I say almond milk for everything.
Yeah, I really liked almond milk. You know. And it's interesting because my wife knows and everyone knows I love my ice cream. I still eat it, but the milk has been the first to turn the tables where I get grossed out looking at it. It's like, calf grouse fluid.
You know, if you knew what happens in those milk producing facilities, I mean, it's gross.
You know, and that's what they're saying. You know, if we conquer that animal husbandry, then you're looking at all, you know, just the gruesomeness that we do to these animals so we can eat them. You know, and then all the water that we have to, and then everything after we, the land that we have to clear to sustain them. And basically it's coming down to the way we're eating these animals, we can't sustain it. We don't have the sources.
No more water for us.
Yeah. We just don't have the sources to feed them and then eat them and then drink us for us. We don't have it. So we haven't, you know, everyone sees it coming to the wall, but again, nothing's going to happen until the thing just like the bottom drops out. You know?
Well, I think we're all watching it drop out right now, and we got a long way to go. But I think that humans have reached a critical point in consciousness where we realize that business as usual is just going to kill everything. So I maintain a lot of optimism and a lot of hope. And I got to go, but one more thing I want to drop in case people didn't know. Michael Moore's new movie, Where to Invade Next. have you seen it, Randy?
No, but I know that he's controversial, but I like his documentaries. I really do.
Oh, my God. This is the funniest. And
Michael Moore's, what is it now? What is it?
It's called Where to Invade Next. And what he does is he goes to these different countries. He's like, I'm gonna invade a country now. Let's go to France, and instead of stealing oil, we're going to steal ideas. And so he goes to each of these countries, people with, you know, that have universal health care, people that have healthy meals in their schools, people that have very low rates of incarceration. He hits every issue by visiting a different country, and it's really funny when he gets to Italy, and they're like, we have 8 weeks paid vacation. And the look on his face, oh, my God, it's so funny. He's like, 8 weeks paid? You get paid? It's like, oh, yeah, and then when we get married, they give us 2 weeks honeymoon paid vacation. And it just goes on and on and on. It addresses every single issue that's important to Hawaiians as well as everybody. And so I just want to drop that public service announcement that they're playing that. I think it's either 6 or 7. You might want to look into it. But at the Wilcox Library in Lihue tonight.
Oh, okay, check that
free.
Out.
super informative, super funny, and it's being blackballed by a lot of the mainstream media, so you know you want to see it.
Yeah, definitely. When I say don't see it, hey, they just punched the big exclamation mark that everyone wants to see it now.
Yeah, at one point in the movie, I saw part of it at Honolulu. At one point, and I'm going to go again tonight, but he says, so whether, you know, if you're downloading the pirated copy of this video, you know, you got to understand where your electronics come from. You know, he describes these African countries that, you know, they have slave labor to extract all these materials to make computers. And then when the computers die or get upgraded, they ship the junk back to those countries. And they end up with these giant trash, you know, landfills and stuff full of dead computers. And it's so insane. So I highly recommend the movie. I'm going to be there tonight.
All right. Thanks for your mano.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Aloha.
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 Love Michael Moore. Love him. Oh, my God. Yeah, definitely. Where to Invade Next? I love it. You know.
Well,
oh my God, I can't.
I like the one when he was talking about healthcare and he went to Cuba and he's like, hey, we need healthcare. You guys get, you know, the Guantanamo Bay. He's like, all those prisoners get free healthcare. I'm an American. I need healthcare. Why do I have to pay for it and they get all free? I mean, he does raise some points, but, you know, I especially love to watch the right just go try to tear him down. But they got, you know, like the caller said, I go with the facts. And when it's confirmable, you know, just like in the scientific world, right? You have a hypothesis, you test it. If that can be duplicated by other scientists, then you got a valid point. Same thing with facts. When you can verify it, it's confirmed. You know, kind of mute, trying to argue the point when the facts have been confirmed.
Well, you know, I also want to mention, this is what I really want to mention. Did you hear recently in terms of Halle Bay?
No, what?
Well, apparently, it seems that...
well, because you want to hold up for a minute? Hold up for a minute, because remember, okay, priorities. We have another phone caller. Hello, caller, you're on the air with Nale Hawaiian Issues.
Well, then at...
Hey, there's a long lost Danny. Where you been, man? Where you been? Yeah, Iraq, Iran, we win.
On the topic of food, you know, and humanity and what's right and wrong, then you put people in jail and you strap them in a chair and you stuff and you force feed them with a tube. You know? I mean, it's the irony of ironies of the food, you know, no matter how rich. No matter how wealthy you are, you've got to have your daily bread. And you can only eat so much, right? And then the only ways where you could protest your incarceration, if you think it's unjust, is to go on a fast. And then to deny you that, like to fast until you might die because they want to still incarcerate you to punish you. They will take food, the substance that gives us life, and whether we waste it or not, because we're an indulgent, we indulge ourselves with food, then we torture people by force feeding them. Anyways, you're right about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on, Danny.
Hello?
We're waiting. No, he clipped off. Give us a call back, Danny. No, we were listening to you. Yeah, we can hear you. You're on the air. Give us a call back. But that was Danny Wilson. Haven't heard from him in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
There he is again. Hang on. Yeah, Danny, no, you're on the air.
Yeah, I didn't know when,
we got you.
When I was... When I, do you stop listening to me?
When I turn you off.
Yeah, but I can't because my radio is off.
Don't worry about it. I'll let you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to just repeat myself because I'm a pretty boring guy.
We'll let you know that, too.
No, you're not.
The people have told me I have diarrhea of the mouth.
Well, if you have diarrhea, then...
No, it's funny you said that because...
I should be hospitalized.
Yeah,
my dad used to say that all the time. Not you, Danny.
Well, you know, I'm trying to lose weight because, you know, my civic duty is to not waste food, the resources that go into my mouth. I felt guilty about this ever since I was a teenager. Part of it's just a sociological, you know, I'm shy about my body shape and how I look, you know. But then there's the real, the truth of the matter is that I overindulge myself. I eat the wrong food. I eat too much. And then I look at myself like I'm upset with my body because I'm fat. I'm too fat. I got to stop eating. It's like an addiction, right? You know, versus what you were saying about, you know, how much energy it takes to put filet mignon on the table, you know, and to dine out in luxury. Are you still there? Can you hear me? Hello?
We're here, Danny.
Yes,
when you're so rich, you can only eat so much in one day. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or you can only put in your body so much food for one day. You know, and then, but the irony of food, and I don't know if I'm repeating myself, but, you know, the irony of it, and it's a sad irony, because it goes to the point of torture, which is the worst thing that we humans do to other people on the planet and stuff, is that when a person is in prison and jail and they're trying to make a statement and fast and they go on a hunger strike, is the new deal, the new thing is, you strap them down, tie them down, and put a tube down their throat and force feed them. I love your show. I'm really glad that you brought up this topic of the meat, the beef, the poultry, the animal husbandry, the dairy industry. It's a wasteful, the Hawaiians had it right when they were just hunter gatherers, daily subsistence. They didn't need refrigeration. They dried stuff. People dried foods and things, but they you eat enough for the day, and you don't worry about it. Let's wait when the boats stop coming.
And it goes into everything because, I mean, they even showed, there was a thing in the news I was watching about, and we know this, how much food just from like the supermarkets that are thrown away daily.
Yeah.
From the restaurants, thrown away daily. And the amount that they were saying, even the scientists were like, this is unbelievable how much wasted food this society and our civilization tosses out the door every single day. How can people in this world be starving when we're throwing tons and tons of food just out the door?
Well, that's the greatest point. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's just totally outrageous. I mean, I worked in restaurants and you just can't believe it. You're absolutely correct. I'm really glad you mentioned it. It's terrible. But anyways, hey, you guys are a wonderful pair. Thanks for everything you do and being so committed to your radio program and all the good work that you do. Both of you are wonderful.
Oh, Danny, thanks.
I know.
Nice from hearing you.
Thank you very much, Randy. Thank you. Have a nice day, guys.
Okay, Primrose said
hi too. Danny.
Hello, no.
Yeah, I missed him. I was like, what is he? Is he going on vacation? But, the reason why I wanted to mention this is because what ended up happening is in terms of the International Court of Appeal, Hawaii International Court of Appeal bungled the Honolulu River eminent domain case, okay? There was an eminent domain case that happened. Now, the Hawaii Court of Appeals basically draws a bright line in eminent domain. The large parcel analysis, unity of means parcels must touch, okay? Contiguity, parcels must touch. Well, what happened was, there was an eminent domain case. It was rare occurrence for the Hawaii appellate courts, but nevertheless, it started this way. The issues determined by the Hawaii Intermediate Court of Appeals are important because we have an old eminent domain code and don't have a whole lot of current decisional law applying it. We basically think that the the Intermediate Court of Appeals got some basically critical things wrong, even though it may not matter for this case, but this is a little bit of what took place. It involves three parcels on Hawaii, some of which were owned by a fellow who had been a thorn in the county side, which were condemned by the county for the expansion of a public beach park. Now, In County of Kauai versus Hanalei River Holdings, LTD, number, and I'll quote this number, number CAAP-14000828 on March 31st, 2016. Now, this is just recently. The Intermediate Court of Appeals basically addressed three issues. The first issue was, can a condemner revisit its initial appraisal downward and reduce the amount of the deposit used to support immediate possession? That's the first question, okay, or the first issue. The second issue was, is an owner precluded from showing that taken property is part of a larger parcel because the parcels are not physically touching? Okay. And then also the third question is, when a condemner's deposit, which gives it the ability to obtain immediate possession of the property pending the determination of just compensation, conditional and thus not fully available to the property owner. Okay? Now, immediate possession and the condemner's withdrawal of a portion of the deposit, these are the two things that sort of, you know, the courts are looking at. The county initially deposited $5.89 million to support its motion for immediate possession. Okay? Now, Hawaii is not a true quick-take jurisdiction. It doesn't happen that way, where title transfer is upon deposit. But it's a governmental condemner, governmental condemner may obtain immediate possession of property, quote, to do such work thereon as may be required for the purpose of which the taking of the property is sought. Now, as long as it deposits with the court a, quote, sum of money estimated by the state or county to be just compensation or damages for the taking of the real property, end quote. Now, that's part of the Hawaii Revised Statute 101-29. Now, the county didn't seek possession immediately upon the filing of the eminent domain complaint, but waited nearly a year for it. Now, you got to look at a timeline. When you file, when you file and then you wait until you take possession of it, you know, here there was a period of time. So one of the questions is, if that during that time, does the owner of said property have the right to be on that property? And if not, why not? So, so here's the timeline. Here's basically a rough draft of the timeline, the sequence of events relevant to this issue. There was May 2011, county eminent domain complaint filed. April 2012, that's like almost a year later, county sought ex parte order of possession and deposited $5.89 million. That's a year later. So, the individuals didn't have access to the deposit or access to the land, I'm assuming. May 2012, Circuit Court put county in possession. 2012, owner asked to vacate possession due to the state appraisal. Court denied. March 2013, owner asked to withdraw deposit. April 2013, county opposed. No way to ensure repayment by foreign corporate owner if deposit exceeds verdict. Same day, county asked to withdraw $1.03 million of the deposit based on revised appraisal. Okay? 5 days later, owner and county stipulated to owner's withdrawal of $4.86 million, all but the contested $1.03 million. An owner agreed to indemnify county for any shortage.
2 weeks later, owner opposed Kelly's reduction of deposit by $1.3 million. Now, May 2013, court allowed county to reduce the deposit. So here you go, going back and forth. All right, and then the court finally determined that just compensation was $5.8 million for the three parcels. Now, no express authority to reduce the deposit. There was no express authority to reduce the deposit. The first issue the immediate court appeals considered was whether the county properly reduced its initial deposit by $1.03 million. Based on its revised appraisal, the owner correctly argued that there was no expressed authority in the eminent domain code for the county to do so. Thus, he asserted that the county was bound by its initial deposit. No authority means cannot do. Okay? So there was no express authority to reduce deposit. So that means that the county shouldn't have and could not and didn't have the authority to do that, to reduce the deposit. The Intermediate Court of Appeals disagreed, though, concluding that the terms of the statute, the deposit is merely an estimate of just compensation, and that the county was within its right to revise its appraisal to conform to the date of the summons. Now,
Wait, before you go further, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let me do the legal stuff, and we'll get back at you.
Okay,
we're at the bottom of the hour. This is KKCR Hanalei, KQA Kilauea. This is Nalea Hawaiian Issues, and let's see what's happening with the Ocean Safety Report right now.
Aloha, I'm Pat Durkin with your KKCR Beach and Ocean Safety Tip for today. The safest places to swim are at beaches with lifeguards. On Kauai, we have 7 lifeguard stations. On the North Shore, they are located at Waianae Beach Park and the Hanalei Pavilion. On the East Side, lifeguards are at Kealia Beach Park and Lydgate Park. South to West Side locations are Poipu Beach Park, Salt Pond Park, and Kekaha Beach Park. These stations are staffed 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Always check in with lifeguards no matter where you plan to swim. Conditions can change rapidly. For more information about today's ocean conditions on Kauai, visit kauaiexplorer.com. With today's beach and ocean safety tip, I'm Pat Durkin for KKCR Radio. Have fun and be safe.
Right now, what's happening out there, there's no marine warnings or any warnings out there right now. But the waves are still kind of like 2 to 4 from Haena all the way around to Lydgate, except for Hanalei, which is like 1 to 4. And then the rest around from Poipu to Kekaha by 1 to 4. But still be careful, be safe out there. Alrighty? Getting back to Miss Mahelani Silva, who's on the phone. Cuz, you're on the air.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to go back and forth with this legal jargon because most people just don't want to understand it. And to be quite frank, when it comes to court, I don't think half the, you know, the plaintiff or the defendant or anybody else for that matter, except for if you're an attorney or a judge, understands it. So back and forth, there was amendments of the pleadings, processes, and the whole proceedings. And the bottom rung, basically, all sort of kind of worked its way out or worked itself out. However, even though it evened itself out in end, you got to look at the Intermediate Court of Appeals analysis. The belief that the condemners, the county, need to be held to extraordinarily strict standards when it comes to eminent domain proceeding, where the owner is being deprived of possession or of ownership of land before the final payment of just compensation, and should not be allowed to amend nilly-willy. I mean, if the condemner, like the county, goes back and forth, and it takes a long time before the compensation is allotted, and things can go back and forth. I mean, the property value can go up. So why should a person who is going through a condemnation process of their property suffer in regards to, you know, what might take place, like, say, the value of the land goes up? because the condemner, or the county in this case, basically took its sweet time in conducting business. So the proceedings are degradation of the common law. Now, there's common law, the law of the land, and more importantly, someone is having their property taken without much process at all. And unlikely most lawsuits, there's very little they can do to object in this point. So the owners don't have, owners haven't done anything wrong and have not violated any agreements. And the only reason they're still they're getting sued is that they happen to own property someone else wants. Okay? And they're going to get harmed by these basically these what is called undercompensation no matter what, because Hawaii law does not allow a property owner to recover attorney fees or costs unless the condemnation is dismissed. So even when they recover what the court views as just compensation by virtue of the verdict, plus the blight of summons damages for the delay in payment because of an insufficient deposit, they still have to carry their own fees and expenses. All right? Now, here in this case, it's millions. I look at it this way. This is a perfect example. These are the type of examples that come to light in the media. But when it comes to, and these same examples exist when it comes to just people, condemnation of property by the county or the state or the Fed, whatever, when it comes to individuals that own property. This has happened to individuals. And the same thing that this limited corporation is going through with the condemner, which was at this point the county of Hawaii, this is what happens to local individuals who go through this, end up going through this condemnation process, whereas the county or the state is looking to have a piece of property, and the way they're going to get it is condemn it. And then the whole process in terms of saying, well, here's what we think the land is worth, and we did our own evaluation. And then they take their time in it. They take their time in processing that. And while they take their time in processing that, the owner doesn't have access to the land. Neither does it have access to the money that was promised to them because the condemner is taking possession. And this could go on for years, and this has gone on for years. So therefore, the individual, the property owner, basically, where are their rights? We need to start looking at this because, you know, even though there's, even though that, you know, this was a corporate, there was like a limited a business that was unlimited, and the county was, the county of Kauai was the condemner. The fact of the matter is, this can happen on a regular basis to regular individuals. The condemners need to do certain things differently. They should be held in strict standards when it comes to eminent domain proceedings. So the owner is not being deprived of possession or of ownership of land before the final payment or just compensation, and should not be allowed to just, you know, suffer under the whims of the condemner saying, oh, well, you know, I think I'll change based on my own particular devaluation of the lands. I'm going to not give you what I promised. That shouldn't happen. Counties, states, corporations, when it comes to an individual, you know, when they're looking to condemn a piece of property from individuals, or if an agency or a state or a federal or county is looking to take it from, you know, a small corporation,
Cuz,
the condemner
Yes. We have a phone caller. Be in charge. Yeah.
We're gonna put her on. Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Nalea Hawaiian Issues.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And a big, big mahalo for all that you do for our wonderful island and the islands in general. This is Sandy Herndon, and I'm calling on behalf of Kauai Alliance, who is sponsoring the Michael Moore film, Where to Invade Next. And I understand that there's been a little bit of confusion about where it's playing tonight. It is at the Kaloa Neighborhood Center, and it starts at 6:30. And
it's where? The Kaloa Neighborhood Center?
Neighborhood Center. Mm-hmm. And
okay, Kaloa Neighborhood Center. And what time does it start?
6:30.
Oh, 6:30. Okay, great.
6:30, yes. And we've had great, great crowds. I mean, capacity, standing room only. It's really it's a funny, wonderful film, and very uplifting when you consider that there are solutions to so many of the problems that Americans are facing. And, of course, the problems that the Americans are facing spill over into Hawaii for obvious reasons. You know, if you've got issues in the occupier's country, it's going to kind of, you know, affect everything that goes along with that. So I just want to encourage everyone to come out and see this film. And you know, it's I don't know if, can I say it's free?
Yeah.
Hello?
No, you just did, and yeah.
Oh, oops, I did, yes. Well, anyway, so, yeah, no need to worry. We've got plenty of chairs, and I think that it's very, very worthwhile to see this film. So thank you for letting me set the record straight, and I certainly hope to see you and many of your listeners down there tonight.
Mahalo.
You're welcome. Thanks for...
Thank you.
As I said, thanks for everything you guys do.
Aloha no.
Aloha no.
Thank you.
Aloha. You're welcome. Aloha.
So cool.
Oh, you know, too bad. I wish I could see that movie. Too bad. Kaloa Neighborhood Center at 6:30 this evening, the new Michael Moore film. And a lot of times, I mean, anytime I've ever watched this film, the most I laugh is when it comes to how they present something which is totally true, and the audacity, that the way Michael Moore shows that the audacity of the various government state agencies and even the corporations have in thinking that the general public don't get it. The general public does get it. It's just that what's happening is by the time the general public, it comes to the general public, attention, already the politicians and the agencies and the government that be has already did a Monty Hall's Let's Make Deal behind closed doors. And so, therefore, the general public has to backpedal backwards in order to try and catch them and stop them. It's not that it's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult to do, okay? And a lot of times it takes a lot of time and energy and effort of the community to turn around and reverse certain decisions. But that's what I like about Michael Moore's films, because it basically shows, I mean, the truth, but it also shows the arrogance of the various different agencies and government, state or federal, and or federal agencies have, and the corporations have, in assessing the intelligence of a community at large. So I love it. I love it. I really do. So cousin, when it comes down to it, this particular case in terms of these, this eminent domain and whatnot and the intermediate course of appeals, it went back and forth. Okay, and one of the main persons that was involved in this in terms of
rights of passage or easements. And people who have property know about, you know, these things. They're going to fight for their easement. A lot of times in terms of the condemnation process and when it engages or involves property and multiple parcels, you know, there's always problems. And the one who wins out is basically the condemner. The one who loses is the one who's being, whose property is being condemned and taken. You know, it's like they want it, they're going to get it. And here, this is what we think you're entitled to. Oh, we changed your mind, it's less than. So it goes on. And then what happens is those who have, might have an easement, to adjacent properties or parts of the properties, again, their ability to continue to utilize that easement is at the hands of the Intermediate Court of Appeals or at the hands of the condemner themselves. And so, therefore, a lot of times, the Manini person, again, against the agency, state, federal, county, suffer at the hands of the state, federal, or county in regards to these issues. And so, you know, when looking at these, and these cases in terms of condemnation happen all the time. The state or the county wants something, they go after it, and they're saying, here's what we think we're going to give it to you. Now, they, in the bottom, just of it all, the Intermediate Court of Appeals correctly concluded that the county objection to the disbursement showed the deposit was conditional, which meant that the property owners did not have free access to the funds. Now, because it was conditional. And the Intermediate Court of Appeals held that the owner was entitled to what is called a blight of summons damages and the entire just compensation award from the date of the summons with one small exemption, when title was truly in question. Now, the county's position would, in fact, allow to circumvent certain Hawaii revised statutes by first depositing estimated just compensation to stop the running of interest on that amount, but then also conditioning access to that money by the person entitled thereto, and on the acceptance of protective measures. In addressing persons or parties entitled to just compensation, the Hawaii Revised Statutes laws, certain laws 101-29 and 101-31, do not distinguish between local and foreign owners or owners whose financial situations may be conducive to difficult recovery of overpayment. Now, the county chose to pursue immediate possession, and such action requires deposit of estimated just compensation, and that the person entitled thereto has the right to withdraw and use it once, if title is clear. So again, the case continues. And there has been briefs filed in the Court of Appeals again regarding the property owner's opening brief and county's answering brief and the owner's reply. So this is an ongoing situation that many of you might want to look into. And again, it's County of Kauai, especially if you're involved with some type of condemnation process. And this is a rare view for you, the individual, to get a look at the various different Hawaii revised statutes involved. County versus Honolulu River Holdings, LTD. And again, the County of Kauai versus Honolulu River Holdings. So you can still look at the proceedings. And if I were you, get a copy of the whole proceedings if possible. I do think you'd be able to do that. And basically use it for future references. Especially if you think that, you know, because the state or the county at any time can proceed with a condemnation process, especially if you own land. So, you know, heads up, folks. Yeah, sometimes it's like, what? I like cake. That's what usually happens. They like cake. Cake, 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 cake. So, again. But, you know, so much is happening in terms of again, the issues. I mean, there's so many that, you know, sort of can't mention. I mean, it's like, you just look at it. And again, it's like, I mean, we've got the GMO issues. We've got the injection wells issues. We've got the, you know, bee collapse issues, which is a very important issue. I mean, without the honeybees, all the pollination. Yeah, it's so pollinate. But, I mean, we've got quite handling issues, adverse possession issues. We've got chemical issues, poisoning issues. We've got homelessness issues. There's too many issues we've got to deal with. But every week, we know the whole issues try to keep you abreast of some of these issues. Hopefully.
That's right.
Hopefully we'll, you know, hopefully we'll have some answers. Hopefully we'll find some solutions. But the only solution I think of now is, you know, let's use, as a community, let's use your power to change things. Use your vote to take out those who are in and to put in those that we need. Your power to vote is important. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's get all the Pono people on a platform. Let's do platform. Let's run in a block. All together now. In with the good, out with the bad. Okay?
Well, one thing.
But, so, cousin.
One thing before you go. Because I want to know, did you see that PBS? I've been trying to find it on YouTube, but I tried to record it. It was happened last week about a debate between Ben Cayetano and John Wahei about sovereignty.
Yeah. I don't know where I could see that either. I don't know if, you know, I think Onalo, you know what, if they have it, see if you can request Hoike to get a copy of that and run it on on the television on Kauai, because I think Olelo channel over here may have recorded it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Cayetano was against it, and obviously, John Mahe is for it, but under the Nahapuni thing, which is kind of like a lost cause too. But that's how it is. So, we'll see you next week, and aloha noa, and we'll keep in touch.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about that because of a family. Situation. I will be leaving, and I found out this morning, I'll be leaving for the mainland, next week. So, depending on where I am, what I'm doing, I may be calling you from the mainland, or not. Okay?
Okay,
I'll let you know. So, all of you, if I don't get to speak to you before then, during Mother's Day, all you mamas out there, oh, may you have a blessed day. And all you sons, husbands, brothers, you know, remember the women in your life and treat them really nice. And instead of using Mother's Day to take them out the day before, so this way you don't have to wait in line for an hour and a half for that table, take them out. And then, if you want to spend Mother's Day special with them, no let them cook. You guys cook barbecue, no let them clean up, okay? You know, let them relax with their feet up, take care of them. You might even want to carry something at home, but make sure a mama and sister and all the other mothers out there, no do anything. Just rest, take it easy. So many blessings to all you mommies out there for Mother's Day if I don't get to talk to you. On Mother's Day.
Aloha, no cuz.
Aloha.
All right, aloha. And that's it for Nalea Hawaiian Issues. See you guys. Aloha, no.